Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. The ministry of Jesus begins. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The first disciples. One day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further upshore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Crowds followed Jesus. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the kingdom, teaching in the synagogues, and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and their illness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Every day we hear news, many news. Bad news and good news. Probably we hear more bad news than good news. But we all, I believe, would like to hear good news, right? Jesus came here to proclaim the good news. And he's a messenger of good news. And church is the messenger of good news. So here today, you are going to hear good news, not bad news. So relax. Today's scripture says that Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about kingdom. So, when he began his ministry, he chose the region of Galilee. Some people wonder why in Galilee. As you can see in the map, Galilee is the region of Galilee is the northern part of Palestine. The southern part is a region of Judea, where Jerusalem, the city of God, is located. And the middle part is Samaria. So, as you know, Jesus was baptized by the John the Baptist in Judea, and here in the Jordan River. And then after he was baptized, he went to wilderness for 40 days for fasting and for the test. And after 40 days of wilderness, he stayed there. We don't know exactly how long he stayed in Judea, but he heard the news about John the Baptist, who was arrested by the king. So when he heard that news, he moved from this place to the Nazareth, where he was not welcomed, and moved to Capernaum, northern part of the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Galilee. So this Capernaum area was his base camp. For 3 years, he stayed this area and to do the ministry. Now, why he do the ministry in northern Galilee, not in Judea, where the most Jews lived? And the Matthew, today's scripture, said it was planned by God. And Isaiah, who lived 700 years ago before Jesus Christ, prophesied that the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and these are two tribes whose property was allotted in the region of Galilee by Joshua, and the Palestine were divided into 12 territories and give it to each tribe. So the Zebulun tribe and Naphtali tribe and lived in Galilee area beside the sea and beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. So during that time when Isaiah wrote, and northern kingdom including Samaria and Galilee region, one northern kingdom, were invaded by Assyria, and they are conquered. So Assyria's policy back then, they scrambled people. So whenever they went to and invaded and conquered, and they pulled people out to different places and bring other people to there. So by this time, when Isaiah wrote this one, now a lot of the Jewish people were deported to different parts of the empire of Assyria, and other foreigners came and lived there. So that's what he says. He means in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Imagine during that time, you who live in a foreign land, the conquered, most of them, they conquered. And they were forced to leave their homeland, hometown, even relatives, and spread to other parts. And the people came to live in this new area. And lost properties. Houses had to build new houses, or I don't know how they managed to live. It's very hard to live. So people who sat in darkness, and these people who have no hope, saw a great light. And for those who lived in the land where the death cast its shadow, a light has shined. 700 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah from the southern kingdom, looking at their brothers' land, Galilee, and where there is no hope in that area, and prophesize that there will be the light shining. And 700 years later, this prophecy was fulfilled by the light of the world, the hope for the hopeless. This is why Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." I am not just light for selected people. I am the light of both Jewish and Gentile, especially people who sat in darkness without hope. This is the good news. People who live in a good place with a good light, they don't need extra light. They don't look for the light. But people who have no light, living in darkness. You know, there is a metaphor, as you know. And they desperately waiting, need the light. And that's what the Matthew said. Jesus started the ministry to bring that hope, the light, the people living in the land of shadow. So NIV translates this way: the light has shone for people living in the land of shadow of death. We can just imagine that coldness, hopeless, despair. And there, Jesus went. Paul mentioned this way: God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Why did Jesus come? For whom has Jesus come? Yes, Jesus has come to all people, especially people who live in land of the shadow of death and in the power of darkness. And have you ever been in that situation? I know many of you been in that situation and saw the light, Jesus Christ, and came out of that place. What still some people living in this land of shadow of death and the power of darkness. Still living in hopeless situation with a broken heart, with a despair. I'd like to share with you the testimony of Danny. Velasco. And pardon me about the poor quality of the video, but you will really enjoy it. This extreme case, but we know God indeed loves such people.
I've been doing hair and makeup as a freelance hairdresser and makeup artist, working in photo studios in New York and basically around the world for about 35 years. But in my very early 30s, I decided to move to Paris because I wanted to be in the center of what was happening fashion-wise. And within 2 months of being in Paris, I got my first cover of Vogue magazine. When that cover hit the newsstands, my career just exploded. Now I was charging $3,000 a day, and I was working every day. I had as much money as I wanted to spend on drugs. Suddenly it wasn't like pills and alcohol, now it was cocaine, and then it started. Then heroin came into the picture. One day I was on a photo shoot in New York City, and the model who was on this photo shoot was a very beautiful redhead, and she began to talk to me about the Lord. God loves you, and this. And I was like, you know, whatever. She was a religious fanatic, and I really didn't have very much to say to her. I just let her talk. Before she left, she said, hey, Dan, do you mind if I pray for you? Right in the studio, she just took my hands, and she began to pray out loud. And I had never been around anybody praying out loud, you know. And I began looking around at people going like, you know, I just thought, this girl's nuts. Before she walked out, she said, look, you know, you're in trouble. She goes, I know who you are. I've seen your work in magazines for years, and I know you work with all these famous celebrities, but you're in big trouble. And she said, so I just want to let you know that the day you call on the name of the Lord, he's going to set you free. And I said, oh, really? You know, like that. And I went, like, you don't understand. I've gone way too far. You know. And so she said, oh, no, no, there's no hopeless cases with Jesus. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know. But listen, I will never call on the name of the Lord. That won't happen. And I won't ever come to your church. One of my contracts was for a clothing manufacturing company, and we were shooting down in the Caribbean, and I overdosed on heroin. They sent me back a few days later to New York, and they pulled my contract on a morals clause, and I didn't care. All I wanted to do was shoot dope. So one day I pulled a garbage can between my legs, and I just began to cut up everything that had my name on it. Anything, passports, driver's license. I put the keys on the table and I just walked out and closed the door behind me, and I never went back. And I began to live on the streets. Day-to-day existence on the streets of New York was, you wake up, you're sick, you need drugs. I had gotten down to about 108 pounds. I developed hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. Every once in a while, you know, living on the streets, I would go to a payphone, and I would call Wanda, and I would say, look, I need some money, you know. And she would go, well, if you would come by the church today, we have choir practice tonight, you know. I can give you $20 or, you know, whatever. She never gave up on me. She never gave up on me. She never gave up on me. I didn't know it, but she had a whole team of, like, you know, her friends out here all praying for me. And they would pray for me in prayer meetings, you know, where there's thousands of people there, you know, crying out to God. I mean, they would pray for me and pray for me. And you know, what did I know? I didn't know everybody was praying for me. I started developing a lot of phobias on living on the street. I began to hear voices in my head. And it just began, it was constantly accusing me and constantly telling me how I would mess up. And then there was like another voice that started in, and I could hear them both at the same time. And the other voice would just curse and just spew out filthy language. You know, there was a third voice that used to just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. I was riding the trains, and this guy, who was like a drug addict, who was also riding the train, said to me, "You look like you're dying." And he said, "There's a hospital at the next stop. You should go to the hospital, you know." And I went, "Oh yeah, maybe I will," because I didn't want to die on the street. I went in through emergency, and I was sick. I mean, I was really sick. I don't know if it's something I remembered that Wanda had said to me, or whether like an angel whispered in my ear, but there was like one moment where I just heard like a sweet little voice in the midst of all that craziness, and it said, "The day you call on the name of the Lord, He's going to set you free." It was just at that moment that that I cried out to God, that it was as if the Spirit of God just swept into that hospital room, and it was as if He was all around me and all in me and healing me and loving me. I don't even know what I was experiencing, but it was an overwhelming experience, and immediately all the voices in my head stopped. It was just that quickly. And that's been 11 years ago almost, and they've never come back. Well, Wanda came back into the picture when I was in the rehab. I wrote her a letter, and I told her what had happened. And she wrote me back a letter. It just said, like, it had three big letters on it, W-O-W. I said, "Wow." She couldn't believe it. I'll tell you the thing that blows me away more than anything is that God goes so much further than we ever dare to ask Him for. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I called on the name of the Lord, I just wanted to get out of a jam. You know? And God says, no, "I'll get you out of the jam, but I'm going to give you a new life." Not only that, I'll go even further than that. I'll stand you up in front of all the world, in front of audiences of thousands and thousands of people, so that others will know that they too can obtain mercy. You know, it's almost like a trophy, like you're His trophy that He wants to show off to the world and say, "I can do this in somebody's life."
Good news of the kingdom of God. We need to hear this good news. I mean, every century, every decade, every day, world need to hear good news. Good news about freedom. About power, about light, about hope, about joy, about peace, that this world cannot give to us. Only through Jesus Christ, who has brought kingdom in His name. That is why we believe, because many of us experience this good news of God's kingdom. Not only once, and even we experience these days, and we know many other people in our family members, in our neighbors, co-workers, who need to experience, who need to hear the good news. And Jesus said to those people who live in the land of shadow of death, who had no hope, and they said, he said, repent, turn around, change your heart, turn to God. Why? Good news. I have brought good news to you. The kingdom of God. Do you need good news? I need good news every day. And Jesus is here inviting us, repent, turn to God, listen to the good news. Let's pray. Faithful God, you never forgot the people who live in the land of shadow of death. People who sat in darkness. For several centuries, you've been look, put them in your heart, and finally you sent Messiah, the light, to the place. And through that, we hear the good news. God, who is faithful and promise, keep the promise and look for those who are in darkness. Lord our God, help us, we need you. Help us know that we really need you. Where we are in desperate need, in despair. Sometimes many times, we cannot overcome the power of evil forces. Help us. And we may not have that serious problem with Danny Velasco, but each one of us has issue and problems then need power, freedom, and hope, joy, and peace. We come before you. We turn our face to you and ask help. And also we pray for other people so that your kingdom continually spread to this earth. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.